It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller's report is complete, but so far we don't know much about what's in it. A four-page summary was issued by Attorney General William Barr over the weekend, but the full report has yet to be released. Here's Democratic Chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Representative Adam Schiff, on CBS's Face the Nation.
I also think the AG needs to make that report publicly available. The special counsel spent 2 years almost investigating this. The public has a right to know and a need to know.
Do you believe the Justice Department should release Mueller's findings to the public, or do you believe the report should be partially shielded? And what would you like to know about that report? What are your initial reactions? 800-642-1234. Andra Gillespie is an associate professor of political science at Emory University in Atlanta and a political analyst. Gillespie teaches courses on African-American politics, political participation, and race and elections. Andra, welcome back to The Morning Show.
Thank you for having me.
Special Counsel Robert Mueller has officially handed over his report to the Justice Department. This comes, as Adam Schiff pointed out, after nearly 2 years of investigation looking into whether or not the Trump campaign conspired with Russia to interfere in the 2016 election, along with obstruction of justice. Now that it's here, what's your initial reaction?
Well, I think that there's still a lot of questions. I think this is a reflection of the lack of trust that we have for each other in our society, that there are many people who don't want to take Attorney General Barr's sort of word for what's in the report. And I think just given all the amount of attention that the, you know, investigation got, there's no way that anybody is going to be satisfied with just a four-page summary of what the findings were. People are going to want to know more about what the details are. And so while the question, I think, is settled on the issue of whether or not there was a conspiracy from the Trump administration directed toward the Russian government, I still think that there are other questions and other details that are worth knowing. So, for instance, you know, what are the details about the ways that Russians tried to infiltrate the 2016 election cycle, and what lessons can we learn from that for future election cycles? That's a really important question to know, even if the Trump administration or the Trump campaign in particular, you know, wasn't actually involved in playing ball with them. Also, you know, were there any types of vulnerabilities in the Trump campaign that could actually be instructive for other campaigns in terms of how they were being targeted by this foreign government? And then there's this question of obstruction. So the first question is that if there's no collusion, then what was being obstructed potentially, since it looks like Mueller actually didn't want to draw a conclusion on it, and what are the details of that? I think that's going to be a really important question going forward. So I think that actually the summary settles a couple of things, but it actually raises many more questions.
In a letter describing the report's major findings, Attorney General Barr noted that Mueller didn't conclude that President Trump committed obstruction of justice, but Mueller also said that he wasn't exonerating the president either. Break that down for us, Andra. What are we to make of that?
Well, I mean, so President Trump has said that he's fully exonerated, and I would say that that line suggests that there's more controversy over it. So one, I think we need to know more details about sort of, you know, on what dimensions was Mueller not willing to make a consideration. I think what this is pointing to is that there are legal questions, and Mueller was going to answer legal questions, and then there are political questions. And so there may be things that may or may not rise to the level of, you know, criminality from a legal standpoint that might put somebody, you know, in jeopardy of going to jail. But this does actually raise important institutional questions about how is this how we want our government to run. So it's really hard exactly without knowing precisely what, sort of what the details of the sort of unclear if it's obstruction types of issues are at hand. But what this does is that there may be something political that Congress wants to provide oversight for in terms of saying that it's not appropriate for a president to act in this particular manner.
In the past, over the past 2 years, how did we see the scope of Robert Mueller's investigation change?
Well, the scope of it didn't change. And so I think that this is also a really important thing to bring up. Mueller appears to have really followed his mandate and his charge well. So he was looking at Russian interference in the 2016 election and looking at allegations of whether or not the Trump campaign was actually actively involved in this Russian interference, because that, you know, would be earth-shattering and, you know, there would be serious legal consequences for that. So it looks like he hewed to his mandate. So, and he has a different mandate than, say, Ken Starr had, back in the 1990s in the Clinton investigation. So as a result of that, if there was anything else that, you know, was interesting that might be worth investigating, Mueller seems to have been very methodical and very systematic in making sure that he passed that information along to other jurisdictions who might have purview over that. So at least as far as the narrow question that he was tasked with answering, he's responded to that. We await to see whether or not we're going to find out more details of it. And I think the bigger questions of it are, you know, what happens in the Eastern District of Virginia, the Southern District of New York, and in the state of New York in particular, and are there other ways that, you know, Trump affiliates might actually have been vulnerable or have been doing activity that, you know, could be illegal and or unethical.
Andra Gillespie is an associate professor of political science at Emory University in Atlanta. She is with us this morning to kind of help parse out what we know and don't know about the Mueller report, which was submitted last Friday. And we have a four-page summary of that released by the Attorney General's office to go by so far. Andra, just because the Mueller report is submitted doesn't mean everything's over. Investigations are continuing, as you point out, in a variety of other jurisdictions. And in the in Congress, especially with Democrats in control of the House of Representatives. So let's talk about that for a moment. Walk us through the range of what lawmakers are paying attention to next.
Well, I mean, I think the first thing is actually getting a hold of as much of the report as possible. So if Attorney General Barr were to just release this four-page letter without releasing other information and doing so in a timely fashion, Democrats in the House in particular would cry foul, and they would actually probably try to subpoena it. So now we would be looking at a court battle that could, in fact, be protracted. I would wait for Attorney General Barr to try to see if he can release as much information as possible. And then there would be the debate on if he redacts a lot of information, you know, is that a legitimate redaction? And so under his guidelines that he has to follow, you don't release stuff that actually has implications for national security, which is reasonable, and you also don't release stuff that has, that is also currently under consideration by a grand jury. There's also the information of whether or not about sort of what is incidental information that could impugn, I guess, the reputations of people who are innocent who just happen to kind of be caught in the report. And so, you know, are there going to be differences in interpretation of what that means in particular? I just think, you know, regardless of where you stand on the issue, whether or not you supported the president or didn't support the president, there's just been too much interest in this investigation for people to not be given details. And I think in the interest of transparency, there has to be some further reporting. There has to be more details to help flesh out what Barr summarized in his letter yesterday. So I think, you know, in the immediate short term, it's a sort of how fast is he going to be able to turn the full report around, having been scrubbed for all the things that need to be scrubbed of it. Will people be satisfied with that? And in particular, will congressional committees, particularly those that have security clearances, be allowed to see the things that are redacted?
Let's take a quick call from Steve in Sun Prairie. And Steve, we're almost out of time in the segment, so I'll ask you to be brief.
Yeah, this investigation was nothing but the John Doe investigation in Wisconsin. People are innocent until proven guilty. Transparency is great, but you can't ruin people's lives for political reason, and that's all that's going on here. Let it end. It's over.
Steve, thanks a lot. Did the media make too big a deal about the Mueller investigation and damage people in the process?
So it's hard to say that without knowing the details. So we see this summary. We don't know how long the report is or what the details are that are involved in it. If we have the details, I think we can better answer that question about whether or not the media, went too hard, after folks who were involved in the investigation. I would also say that I think it's really important to keep in mind that the reason why there was an investigation transcends Donald Trump. Right, it's not just Donald Trump in that there were lots of people who were upset that he was elected president and some who were very happy that he was elected president. There was this larger issue of a foreign government trying to infiltrate our election and going on a disinformation campaign to try to sway people, misrepresenting themselves as they were passing along information, reaching out to members of the campaign to try to actually sort of, infiltrate. And then it becomes a question of, well, why? Why would they try to target the Trump campaign? Was it because they saw this as a novice campaign, so therefore it was vulnerable to infiltration, or were there other reasons? So even if the Trump team didn't take the bait, we all need to know why, because we also want to make sure that that kind of stuff doesn't happen again. So one of the things that I would encourage everybody, in particular Trump supporters, to keep in mind is to think about sort of the process, not just of this investigation, right, because that needed to happen. And we all have to respect the results of the findings, so long as they were done fairly and that they were done thoroughly. But we also have to keep in mind that the bigger question here was about foreign infiltration of American elections, and nobody, regardless of where you stand on the political spectrum, should be okay with what happened in 2016.
Andre, I think that's a great place to end our conversation this morning. And I know that we will be covering this issue across all of our platforms on Wisconsin Public Radio as the days go forward. But thanks for helping us out here this morning and giving us a good start. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Andre Gillespie is an associate professor of political science at Emory University in Atlanta and a political analyst. Of course, the conversation doesn't stop here on the Ideas Network. You can tune into Central Time after 3:30 this afternoon for continued coverage of this issue. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.